Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Anthony Becerra and I talking about movies, doing what we love. And today we are talking not Separation, which we made a big deal of last time about talking about that, but instead we are talking about a delightful Netflix movie called The Mitchells vs. The Machines. And I gotta say, this was a movie I was looking forward to, but I did not know it dropped. And then you texted me saying you loved it, and I was already excited to watch it, and it lived up. So I'm very excited to talk about it with you. Obviously, we will be getting into spoilers pretty quickly, but first, Tony, what did you think of the movie?
Well, you already spoiled it, Phil. I loved it. This film was amazing. By the way, I did also go and watch Separation in theaters. You're not missing much, okay? Not really worth it. This movie, I didn't realize this movie was coming out this weekend. And I said, screw Separation. I remember texting you after I saw it. I was like, screw Separation. We're doing this movie. We have to talk about this movie because I think this movie is amazing. I think this movie is great. It's a really fun fucking ride. It's worth watching. It comes from Sony Studios. By the way, the people who did the Emoji movie made this movie. Isn't that amazing? But they also did Spider-Man. It's just Spider-Verse, which was fantastic as well. Now, this movie isn't perfect. It does have its faults, but I easily looked past them. I didn't care. I was having so much fun that when my brain did that thing where it's like, yo, why do these robots have, like, gravity guns attached to their arms? Or, like, hey, why do these robots have these weird capsules for people and things like that? I was just like, you know what? Who cares? It's fun. It's a dumb, fun movie. You try not to pick at it too much, but it's such a great ride. I laughed, I cried, I enjoyed it. I gave this film on my Letterboxd account a 5 out of 5, just because how fun it was. And I remember waking up so early too. So first thing I did when I woke up early on, like, what was it, Friday morning before I went to work, I woke up super early and I was like, might as well knock out a movie, and I knocked this one out, and I was so happy I did. It's so fun, dude. It's so good. What'd you think about the movie?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a who's who with so many actors and so forth. And this is like, honestly, like, if I had the talent, I'll admit this would be the type of movie I would love to make. Like, it's got heart, it's got irreverence, it's got all these sort of unique techniques, and it's wacky, zany, and so forth. And honestly, like, what sums it up in the best way possible is the end credits. Like, the movie was fantastic, but then that just nice little touch of them putting up pictures of the various filmmakers, of them and their, you know, families, and, you know, sometimes some being older, sometimes being younger. I was like, damn, this movie got me. Got me twice. You know, I couldn't stop crying. So it was definitely good. And at the same time, you know, it could have been, like, as far as the message of the movie, if you will, it could have definitely been that, like, oh, you know, machines are bad, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, it parodied its humor, especially with, you know, Mark Bowman, who was the entrepreneur and so forth, and his pal. But at the same time, it's like, you know, they acknowledge that there was some good stuff about it, too. And, yeah, definitely a lot of great references. For me, Furby being chief among them. So I just loved it.
Hey, I got the Furby reference, dude.
There you go. Did you own a Furby? I didn't own a Furby. I was beyond that stuff. I was like, this is dumb.
I didn't own an original. I owned a Furby that was given to you, like, through McDonald's. I think it had a little special.
Like, were you like, yo, if I can't get the real Tony, yo, mom, dad, we going to McDonald's tonight?
It was just like, yeah, it's one of those random things. I remember seeing, like, those Furbies, and I remember, like, the eyes being really creepy and soulless and always looking at me. They were creepy. They were overall creepy. I don't know what the whole point of that whole Furby thing was, but it was fun nonetheless. I enjoyed it. I liked that little callback. And I liked how the son in the movie, he's all like, what's a Furby? I thought that was pretty funny. Because that's exactly people his age, like, students his age, or not students, sorry, kids his age are going to be thinking that same exact thing. What's a Furby? Because that's basically you know, past their prime. But I got the Furby reference. I got a good amount of the references here.
Yeah, no, it's obviously I think it works on so many levels for so many different people. And yeah, in that sense, I'm just trying to, like, recently one of my friend is a soccer coach, and one of the kids said cookie to him. And it's like, what? He's like, you know, cookie, like cookies are good, so I'm good. And he's like, oh, word. And the kid's like, word? What the hell does that mean? It means I understand. So it's interesting, like, how generations have now all this different lingo for stuff. Anyway, yeah, I mean, if nothing else, the thing that really got to me, like, I don't know, I'm a sucker for movies about, like, aspiring filmmakers, if anything else, and certainly, like, Katie with her creativity and so forth. You know, she was making the types of movies that I was making as a kid, except hers were better and got more traction. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. For sure. That was a driving force. I was in.
I mean, I've seen your movies. Yeah, she definitely had just better technology at her disposal. And this film does take place at during 2020. So it is a bit modern and everything. In that sense, when it comes to just, like, the technology they have available to themselves. Probably even a bit more advanced on top of that with the whole robot thing. But, you know, it's robots producing robots, so I guess they can further their own technology. Yeah, see, this is why I don't want to think about it too much, because then I go down this weird hole. I'm like,
why?
No,
why you got to think?
Yeah, it's a kid's movie. Shut up. Shut up, brain.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, you know, in the universe of the movie, right? Like, it works. Like, none of this is, like, supposed to be realistic. Like, if you look
exactly
at it from,
yeah,
I mean, she's going up a damn building, like, literally straight up. So and right, I mean, at the end they're like, right,
well, that part actually makes sense, because you have the whole you know, the whole magnet that's like a whole magnet thing, and then it just attaches to the bottom of the car, which I found to be really cool, because I was like, hey, she's gonna flip over, and then magnets turns on, and then the car stays on, and I'm like, that's clever, that's pretty good. Things like touches like that.
All right, Bill Nye the Tony guy.
There's just certain parts I was like, that's pretty cool, and like they felt grounded. And then, but then I also loved when they went buck wild. Like, there's a whole like cuts. There's a whole sequence where the mom is riding a robot like a freaking surfboard, and using like somehow got like this katana sword out of nowhere, and she starts slicing and dicing. I love that scene. I thought that scene was amazing. It's more towards like the end and the climax of the movie, but yeah, I love when it's like it goes buck wild, and I love when it has like those really nice emotional beats to them as well. I think it balances a you know, something very hard, very neatly, in my opinion, where it's got that emotional gravitas to it, but also it's just buck fun. It's buck wild and fun. It's just so fun, man. It's like kids made this movie. It's amazing.
I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had, but like, I do applaud the writing. I mean, you know, the motif of the song, right? Maya he, Maya ho, right? Like that one. And how, like, you know, that then becomes the thing that binds them together. You know, the dad and her. And as you mentioned, like the mom's riding the robot, like the surfboard, they're riding their robot friends, you know, and the fact that, like, I love the two stupid robots that joined along with them. And yeah, everything's just quirky. And I love how just everyone's so fleshed out and ultimately gets their heyday, right? So as the mom's thing is like, this is a weird family, but then she embraces it. You know, the dog can't look straight, and yet that's like the saving is saving factor in all of this. And of course, like, just the inevitability of like the thing that destroys this is of course water, which what Pal has been like, you know, talking about from the get go. You know, Aaron with his dinosaurs, and certain, you know, and certainly Katie and the dad, you know, they had their moment of coming together. So it's just beautifully well written, and so whatever shortcomings it has, it's like all that is forgiven.
And also, I like how the whole tech thing is like nuanced. It doesn't, they don't really delve into it too much, but I like how it's like it presents the fact where it's like, yeah, technology that we built is literally causing the human apocalypse. but also look how much joy it brings to this girl who's an outcast and is kind of like alienated from her own family to a certain degree, but she's able to express herself in such a beautiful way through the use of technology. So it's not all bad, you know. It's a very gray area of like technology. I think it comes down to like it's based on how you use technology that makes it, whether it's have a malicious view to it or something more more nicer, more of a nicer view to it. And I really appreciated that because it didn't hit you over the head with it. There were some points where it's like, oh, maybe being a tech monopoly and like controlling everything is a bad thing, kind of deal. You get me? Like, I remember there's this one line where it's like, who knew this was gonna be a bad thing? And it's like, in my world, it's like, motherfucker, we kind of everyone's saying it right now, where AI is not being, I guess, reined in the way it should be because, well, first off, everyone we have in power is like fucking old and doesn't know shit, jack shit about. Fuck, you know, when it comes to technology, I mean, just look at the when they had the most powerful, the hearing or whatever, when they had the most prominent tech heads, and they just asked. I remember one senator, I believe, asked the head of Google about something about his email, like shit like that. really dumb. So it's like it's kind of like it's a kid's movie, but then also it has little overtones where it's like, hey. You know, technology can be bad, but also technology can be good in certain ways. And I once again, yeah, I'm going in a circle, but I really
Yeah, I
appreciated that
mean,
in the writing.
I get what you're saying, and I think what grounds it is the fact that they make Pal very believable, right? I mean, the thing that obviously triggers this is the misuse of technology by humans to begin with, right? Like, I love that little montage of like all you guys do is, you know, tap 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 and swipe 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 swipe, and then, you know, you drop us and this and that, and it's kind of like, or we pick up the phone without ever washing our hands, and it's all gross. And so, you know, it comments on it while making it humorous, while also ultimately, you know, not making it this, yeah, as you kind of said, like very in your face type of thing. It's just like, oh yeah, that does make sense. Like if a phone did have autonomy, you know, what would it think with us just doing all this random stuff to it?
And also, and I think it's in that same sequence you're talking about. She also drops a line where it's like, "You're gonna throw us away, just like you throw away your own like family members." Like where like once kids outlive their parents, they usually just kind of, in a sense, not throw them away, but they move away. And then sometimes the students, or I mean the kids don't want to come back home to see their family, or when people. Their parents are old enough, in a sense, they throw them away into living homes and things like that, and don't really care for them. They're old technology by that point. And I found that really prominent. Like I found that message pretty. It struck a chord with me where I'm like, damn, that's brutal. Something brutal to say in a kid's movie like that. You know, it really thinks about like, well, at least for me personally, made me think about like my relationship with my parents and my family members, where it's like. There is a certain point of like, kind of, I wouldn't say throwing away, but kind of like outgrowing them in a sense, right? It's kind of like the way of life. And it makes me think about the cycle of technology, where it's even faster than people, of course. And it's scary how much tech has risen and also how much tech is obsolete by this point. And it just makes me think about the future and like what tech is gonna like stand the test of time, and what tech is gonna be found in a landfill 20, 30 years down the line from now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, certainly things are advancing, you know, very exponentially in that way. And yeah, they're moving very quick. But yeah, I mean, if nothing else, the point is like all this stuff can exist. And it's not that these things are bad, it's how do you use them towards a greater good, you know? And I just love that as part of the message and so forth. Shifting gears just a little bit. I did not realize, like, I didn't. I hate doing, especially on animated movies, because I don't ever want to be taken out. I hate doing the look up who stars in the movie, right? But then at the end, once you see the
Dude,
credits, like, Yeah, this thing just kept going. I mean, Danny McBride as the father, Maya Rudolph as the mother, Olivia Colman as Pal, Eric Andre, Christy Teigen and
Eric.
John Legend, Conan O'Brien. I mean, damn, son, like.
Abby Jake, also Abby Jacobson, which is, plays the titular Katie, Katie Mitchell. I think she was fantastic. I'm surprised it took me that long in the movie to realize who it was, and I was like, duh. She has such a unique sounding voice to her. No, it's a stacked cast for sure, hands down. Super stacked. I really enjoyed it. I think they all did a great job. I love Danny McBride's father, the father figure of Rick Mitchell. I love Maya Rudolph. I barely recognized her voice. Olivia Colman, I think, was a fantastic a little fantastic cell phone. And Eric Andre was pretty good as Mark Bowman. I mean, he was kind of not really present, not much of a character there, but I appreciated hearing his voice. You also had Conan O'Brien as Glaxicon, Glaxon 5000. And then we have so he's one of the main robots that, like, they kind of adopt. The other one was Fred Armisen too. The Deborah bot 5000, I think. So it's a lot of cool little nods here and there. I mean, you also have like Blake Griffin as one of the sleek robot. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean it's just
Yeah, I thought it was
stacked.
pretty great. Oh, also Alex Hirsch as Dirk, which he's, I believe, the creator of Gravity Falls, which I and he's he also worked on this movie, I believe. It was like people from Gravity Falls helped out with this film, I believe it. I don't think he directed it, but it was something along those lines I heard here and there. You could look it up. I'm sorry, I don't have the information.
All
But
good.
yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean it's definitely a stacked movie, and I mean honestly, like I was joking about it with friends. The only negative thing that I have to say about this movie is the fact that I didn't get to see it in a movie theater. Like that.
100%, dude. I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously it's not their fault. Like the movie got delayed a couple of times because of COVID and stuff like that. And after a certain point, Netflix came in and they straight out bought the distribution rights for 100 million. So it's like, in this time when you don't know kind of what's what, yeah, I would take that deal, So, but yeah, I did enjoy it, but that was the only downside to it.
That's literally like the first thought I had once the credits started rolling, where I was like, fuck, I wish I could have watched this in a theater. Like, I have a good TV. It's pretty good, it's some knockoff brand. What is this? It's a Hisense, it's a Hisense about 65 inch Roku TV. It's not a bad TV. It was a great experience here. But like, this movie like just pops on the screen with their colors, the vibrancy of it. The energy of it too, I think, would light up a fucking theater unlike any other. And I just wish I could have experienced this in a theater. I totally wish I could experience this in a theater. Cause then like having like going through the ride with others as well on this movie, it was just so great. I would have loved to just see the reaction around me to certain scenes and certain sequences in here or certain references and things like that, I'm 100% right there with you. I wish I could have seen this in the theater. You bet your ass, if this gets released in theater anytime soon, I'm gonna go fucking catch it because it's so great.
I don't think it'll be anytime soon, but I think eventually there could be a version of this that goes out. Yeah, and like I remember for me, I saw Raya and the Last Dragon in the theater, and yeah, that like it was the first movie that I'd seen in a long time, and so that was definitely a cool experience. But I think this would have just taken it to a whole nother level, for sure, in that sense. But the fact that people love it, like I haven't seen anyone dislike it, which is, fantastic. I don't think there's, I like if you don't like it, then you just don't like animated movies or like something else. You know what I mean? Like it's a dumb nitpick. Like if you're open-minded about actually seeing the story, you can get into it. But if you're just not into this type of movie, then it's, there's never going to be for you to begin with.
Yeah, you clearly haven't listened to the, or I don't know if you've listened to the episode yet, the Slash Filmcast episode on this
I
movie.
did not. I did not.
Oh, okay. You'd be surprised by who doesn't really, or they say they enjoy it, but they have problems with it. And those same problems are the ones that you could easily nitpick, but again, I didn't care enough. Like, I know my brain wants to, but I'm like, no, fuck that. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's a kids movie. I don't care if it's like there's some things that don't really make sense, or the plot might be a little predictable when it comes to the whole daughter father thing. I don't care. I wanted to
I don't
see
understand. I don't. I don't.
how it delivered
But yeah,
it.
that's what I'm saying. I don't understand the bullshit with a plot being predictable. So what? It's not about predicting it. Like, that's not every movie is trying to like hide this thing from you. It's about the journey of getting there. Like, what do we watch? Not every movie is like a goddamn M. Night Shyamalan movie where it's like, figure it out, bitches.
No, yeah, it's for me, it's more about like how well does it hit the landing? Like, how well does it deliver what they're trying to do? How effectively is it being communicated by using film's tools? And I think everything they go for here in this film that's animated, they pull it off really well. You get the beats. Everything comes across effective. You know what's happening. And there's certain payoffs that I think are pretty good, some better than others. I think the best payoff is probably like the moose thing. What they argue on the podcast is certain payoffs didn't really were a little too shoot in, and I'm like, yeah, I get it, but also like, who cares? Like, it's fun. Like, the whole like screwdriver bit at the end, right? Like the whole point, like, hey, who's got their screwdriver? And then and then the one tool they need to open up the control, like, whatever, the control box in those hexagon little pods was that super special screwdriver that everyone has, apparently. Like,
That
stuff
no
like
one
that,
has,
like,
that's the point. No one care. No
oh,
one
that, I, yeah,
cares
my
one.
bad. That no one has, right, exactly, that no one has. So stuff like that, I could see how, like, yeah, that might be a little lazy, but also, who
It's not,
cares?
here's
Like,
the
it's
thing,
so
it's not
fun.
lazy because they set it up, and plus they make an amazing joke out of it when once the wife busts herself out, he's like, "See, it was a great anniversary gift." And she's basically like, "Don't push it."
Yeah,
So like,
exactly. No, I thought it was
I
great.
mean, listen, if you're gonna nitpick anything, I just then if you're gonna, I don't know, like you then you're just not getting the movie, and that's kind of what I hate. I mean, I love the moments. Remember when they kind of are starting to connect with each other, and they're right about to storm in, and they cut to the dad, and he says that kind of line. He's like, "No, it needs to be more epic," and they're like, they redo it. So it's like at first you're like
Yeah.
thinking this is part of the movie, and he's really saying that, but the fact that he's not, because they're making a movie, and it's like, okay, that's I just like love little touches like that, and certainly the the animations to hot to heighten what they're thinking in each of their minds. And all the pop culture references, like you made mention of the mom, but like as far as like when she first kind of gets into it, it's the Kill Bill music,
Yeah, that's right. They do that's the part I forgot. But they do the whole like meh, meh. Do they do a siren?
No, of course.
Oh, okay. I want to watch that scene again. That scene with the mom is so baller. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And I love, it
don't.
has that typical humor where it goes like one direction, right? So when the mom is doing her ass kicking, she's like this badass, but with Aaron on her back, and as soon as she comes, she's like, "Mama loves you," and gives him a nice little kiss, and then goes straight back to like warrior mom.
I love that. Yeah, it's so good. I know, and Aaron was so cute. What a cute little kid too. I love the whole his little subplot with like trying to tell the little girls, one of the Posey's daughter, that like he likes her and stuff. And I love that the interaction between him and Katie, where she kind of bring he brings up like I guess I forgot what exactly happened, but he's like
The
kind of
Raptors,
like
dude, the Raptors.
the raptor thing. Well, basically she's telling her she's trying to he's trying to like ask for advice or whatever, and he's like, oh, why, you like her? And then he's all like, no, I don't, whatever, shut up. And then she's all like, don't hide how you feel, if you're feeling a certain way, you should let her know and go for it. And it's kind of it's funny because it feels like her and her dad were throughout the whole movie kind of hiding how they were feeling about each other, in order to just progress and go move forward with certain things and not actually addressing their issues at hand.
Dude, I loved how the mom and Aaron were, like it's that stereotypical comedy thing of like if you go on a date, right, and I'm like feeding you lines, and of course it gets messed up, and it's so like cliche and so old school comedy, but I loved it. In parentheses or whatever it was, like, now insert your own thing here, and he's like, insert my own thing here.
Yeah, now you start talking.
Yeah.
Now I start talking. Wait, what? And then Aaron ends up doing it with the sister too. Remember that in the car?
Yeah,
It's
100%.
so funny. Yeah, that's a good
And it's
call.
like, at the end of the day, you kind of know it's happening, right? But it's like, why? Just go with it, you know what I mean? Like it's like if you're gonna have a nit if you're gonna nitpick that, then let's just go down the list of, as I said, all these comedic movies from the past that have literally utilized this 8,000 times, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great film. The animation, the overall look of this movie is, oh my God, that's a podcast on its own, but it looks so freaking great. I love the art style. I love the blend of 3D with 2D and then some live action as well here and there. I think it was fantastic. It's so kinetic. This has so much energy to it, so much style, so much personality that it feels like it's a movie that Katie is making overall, it's like we're watching her movie of how her and her family saved the
Yeah,
world.
no, it definitely felt like that. And I would you be curious? Like, I would love to see the dog movies and things like that. You know what I mean? As cheesy as they were, of like, I love the moment where like the cop dog comes in. He's like, I'm moving to California. Not enough, like no one understands me here. Type of, it's just so on the nose,
Yeah.
but so hilarious nonetheless.
No, I love the all the like little dog her all her videos, are pretty little. When they show her videos in the movie, they're great because it's like in their movie, but also like utilizing like certain effects and techniques and editing within the movie. It's like they're like little movies within the movie. It's just cool. And you can tell that it's her videos, like it's her personality. She adds so much personality to them, so much creativity behind those little videos, that they were enjoyable to watch as well when they came on. I was always looking forward to like the next little clip that we'd get. And yeah, it's like, what was it, Dog Cop, basically?
Yep.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think Sony should greenlight Dog Cop next. I think that would be worthwhile.
I mean, you might be onto something. I mean, I could see that being like a little mini series on Netflix, probably like 5 minute long each, little snippets of the adventures of Dog Cop and things like that,
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that would be awesome. All right, well, I think we covered most of it. I don't think we need to get into the nitpicks of anything, 'cause I frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And yes, that is a reference for you film lovers to Gone with the Wind. So, final overall thoughts. Anything that you can share that you haven't said 8,000 times already?
I don't think so. I mean, go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's worth a watch. Watch it with your family or watch it with your children.
What about a pal?
I think watch it with your no, dunk your pal in the water right now.
Bro,
Just kidding.
I meant like actual, dude, listen, my pal is my pal, but then I also have pals who I would want to watch.
Boo, lame joke, whatever. Go watch it. Just go watch this film and you won't be disappointed. Even if you don't like it, you'll get something good out of it, in my opinion, because this is new age, like a new era in like what an animation. And it's like that's the thing, like the animation I can appreciate so much because it's not like Disney, it's not Laika, it's different. It's much different than what I'm used to seeing more so often nowadays.
Yeah, no, and I think they're certainly getting better at it. I mean, from the same group that did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like, and that was fun because obviously they had various animation styles within that overall style, and so I think they're really kind of hitting a groove. And yeah, Lord and Miller as producers, I think, bring a lot to the table, and so I would love to see, what's next for them. And I know they also, you know, Lord and Miller themselves do live action, but I think they found a really good hotspot of, you know, just being able to do what they got to do, you know? So.
100%. Yeah, I think they should keep on doing what they're doing because it's producing gold. I think it's really fantastic.
What would you think about the Lego movie as directed by Katie Mitchell and that being like a movie?
Oh my
Yeah.
God, it'd be like a fever dream basically for 2 hours. Because her videos, as much as cool as they are, I think they work in little snippets. But they're intense, you know. They're like a sensory overload. There's a lot going on in her videos, and there's a lot going on in this movie. Like one of the, like if you're, I don't know, if you're very sensitive to a lot of things going on at once, this movie might be a little much at certain times. But if you're not, then you're in for a good ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that sense, you know, it's an interesting kind of side topic, but with as movies kind of progress, you know, I do notice new and innovative technique and kind of more shorthand, and I think that's cool because, you know, at a certain point, like, we know the film language, right? We know how certain things work. You don't need to hold a shot for 5 seconds nowadays. You can throw it up for 2 seconds and it conveys the same message, and so it is interesting to me how, you know, she utilizes that in a very interesting way. So it's I think the cinephiles could go crazy writing about what this means for the progression of movie making.
Yeah, and then I can already imagine like how many like little kids out there who are gonna watch this movie and be influenced by it and like look up to a character like Katie, who is a really cool outcast who found what she was good at and says fuck off to like whoever doesn't believe in me with like not making it in the world by doing this and goes for her dream, you know, and it's even more better when you have parents that support you in such an endeavor. But like, unfortunately, she didn't. She had, you know, by the end, she has the support. But you know, it's a cool like stick to what you want to do, and even whether hell or high water, whether it be a, you know, robot apocalypse or not, or whether it be a family road trip that you're dreading, it's worth going through, and you'll be a better person overall, and you'll grow from it.
Yeah. And it's just a nice reminder how every experience, even if you hate initially, can actually be the best experience, you know? Because had she flown that plane straight to California, she would have been taken by the robots.
Oh yeah, the robots would have won. Yeah,
Yeah.
easily.
So, all good things reveal themselves in the end. And with that, we reveal our social medias. Tony, over to you.
Yes, you can find me at, or wait, you can find me on Instagram, and that's at Tony B Tony, TONY, letter B as in boy, and then TOEKNEE.
Look at
Phil?
that. I'm at Phil Svitek, and yeah, keeping it simple on all social media. And I think you know, this is one of the fun parts of the pod is you get to listen to us debate which movie we're gonna do next. So you wanna do The Water Boy or no, The Waterman. The Waterman, not to be confused.
I was about to say, what the hell's a water bottle? I was like, what?
Yeah,
Adam Sandler?
no, The Waterman or Wrath of Man. A lot of man movies this week.
Oh no. What's Wrath? Oh, I guess Wrath of
Wrath of
Man
Man
was.
is
What is that
Wrath of
again?
Man is the Jason
That's
Statham action movie directed by Guy Ritchie, and The Waterman is
Oh.
about, you know, it's supposed to be a really cool movie about the kid trying to help his mom, and it's got a lot of heart, I hear.
Damn, they both sound kind of. I'm kind of more interested in the Guy
All right,
Ritchie
Wrath of
one.
Man it is. Next week, 8 p.m., over on Clubhouse, if you want to join us live. We out!